Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode features Robert Turk and John Simmon, co-founders and principals at Canadian-based design firm 7 Point Interiors. Today's episode was recorded in person at MJ BizCon on October 21st, 2021.
What made you want to get into this side of the industry?
I'll grab this one. We attended some retail conferences back in 2016, and we heard a number of people talking about the cannabis industry and the fact that it really lacked some design and aesthetic, and we came back from that conference all charged up to say this is a business opportunity for us. And we had typically servicing the retail sector, dealing with clients like Coach and Nordstrom's and Kate Spade's, and we thought that we could take the knowledge that we have on the retail side of things and bring that to the cannabis industry. So it was leveraging our experience in retail and bringing that to the cannabis industry. So we formed a separate division, 7 Point Interiors, and we started to focus in on the cannabis sector.
Well, and the cannabis sector has obviously exploded since then. I mean, when you're looking at the disparity between, again, the early retail dispensaries, and now you guys have obviously elevated the game. And I was just talking with you guys earlier about what you guys did in Canada for that dispensary, that, you know, the personal love of the Grateful Dead and wanting to incorporate his personal love into the design of his retail location. When you guys are onboarding a client for the first time and you guys are trying to decide, hey, you know, what do you want to bring to your retail concept and how do you want to bring your personal loves into a vision, can you kind of walk me through the process of what you do when you're onboarding a client for the first time?
Typically what we'll do is we actually have a questionnaire and we ask just about any question imaginable with respect to their lifestyle, the demographics they're trying to hit, love for their and their vision for the look and feel of the store. And it's really the design process is really, we engage the client in that process. So we have weekly meetings, and every step of the way we're communicating with the client and showing them the different directions that it's flowing.
We get inspiration from them. They send us like a Pinterest inspiration, stuff that they like, and so we sort of
like a mood board kind of thing.
So we collaborate, and then we create a mood board and bring in the colors and the different textures and finishes that would. And again, it's a very iterative process, going back and forth with the client. And then we finally settle on something that they like, and then we start to go to the next level.
Well, and let's say, you know, you have a concept that's super challenging. When you're looking at the totality of different design concepts, what would you say is the one thing for you guys that has been the most challenging, and how did you kind of overcome that?
I would say from a budgetary standpoint, that would be the most challenging aspect. And again, we are upfront at the beginning with the client, trying to understand what their budgets are, and then we design accordingly. So, because we could pick crazy finishes and materials that are very expensive, but then the client,
they can't afford it.
So a budgetary.
I think that's the big difference between a company that does design and manufacturing versus the client going straight to a design firm and having them design a space for them, right? Because typically, a designer and a design firm are not looking at cost. They may say they look at cost, but they don't look at cost as close as we do, right? So we'll craft the design to fit the budget.
Well, and when you're doing so many different designs and so many different concepts for so many different clients, what would you say, in your opinion, you know, personal opinions, what would be the most creative thing that you guys have accomplished so far for a client?
Good question.
We can jump back to that Scarlet Fire project that we did, and again, that was a very special project for us because of the desire for the client to have his inspirational and love of the Grateful Dead be inspiring the actual build out of the store.
So. And the other thing is too, and quite honestly, it wasn't a huge budget. That store was, you can build an awesome space, without having a huge budget, if you really focus on the brand and the vision that the client's trying to portray, right?
Well, and he had a lot, if I'm not mistaken, he had a lot of personal items of collection from the Grateful Dead that he kind of incorporated into that design. When you guys were going through kind of his personal collection, deciding, you know, hey, this would look great here or this would look great here, what are some, like, indicators that you say, okay, well, I know that this is going to work versus I know that this isn't going to work?
Again, because of the Grateful Dead and its very broad spectrum of colors, we were able to pull a lot of the colors from you know, Grateful Dead posters that he had and try to get materials that sort of blended in well with the different kinds of artwork and materials that he was personally bringing to the store.
When you're moving forward and you're saying, okay, well, I know right now we're in Cannabis 2.0, maybe there's a Cannabis 3.0 coming down the pipeline with just different design aesthetics, what do you think the future of design for cannabis is going to look like? Or are we just going to see more of kind of the high-end luxury retail locations coming down the pipeline?
I think that all depends on where the dispensary is located and the demographics and the customer base that it's attracting, right? So I think there'll still be a wide range, no different than when you're selling, you know, ladies' clothing. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have your Rodeo Drive stores that are going to be over the top, and you're going to have your, you know, strip mall type stores that are going to be somewhat less.
I would agree, and I would say that the companies that want to scale and that want to be multi-state operators, they'll have sort of a cookie-cutter approach, because then it is scalable in that respect. They can mass build things and then be able to open as many stores as they can. You can't do that with the focus to detail of these one-off masterpieces, right?
So would your advice to MSOs be, instead of trying to do a cookie-cutter approach, is look at the locale that you're entering into and try to shape your brand for that location?
Definitely.
When you're say looking at a new dispensary operator, such as the event that you had up in Canada, you know, with the Grateful Dead, what are some indicators that you give to a client before they enter into a space to say, here are some things you have to look at or you should look at when you're trying to attract consumers, like, say, for instance, the design on your shelving or lighting aesthetics or maybe your customer flow? What are some things that entrepreneurs should be on the lookout for?
Well, again, jumping back to what some of the points that you made, you know, the path to purchase from exterior of the building, you know, what are you appealing to? And then, again, I guess...
I mean, operationally, things have to work, right? When you're dealing with 1,200 square foot stores, which most of what we're finding, most of the cannabis stores range from 1,200 to 2,500 square feet. So you don't have a huge space to funnel traffic through. So you basically, you know, you have an in, you have an out, and a lot of it has to do also with the assortment of product that they're going to sell. So some of the cannabis industries are sorting product by product type, so they'll have all pre-rolls in one area and all vapes in another, and some brands are taking the approach of, okay, I want all of this one brand in this one location. So you'll have your vapes, your pre-rolls, your flower, everything in for that one brand in one spot. So, I mean, that's one of the things that it's in our discussion process in the beginning, is what is your product mix, how are you going to display it on the store, and where are you going to store it and hand it to the client, right?
Yeah.
So we have some retail stores that everything comes from the back room, comes forward, and none of the casework is touched. It's all display. And we have some clients where that display is sold right out of the showcase. So you've got to arrange the operations slightly different.
Well, and when you're looking at, say, these different operations, and you're saying, okay, well, I know that some dispensaries have, you know, the idea of a churn and burn, where I want customers to come in, get their product, and then leave. And then, like, say, for instance, here in Las Vegas, you have something like Planet 13, where their operations are geared towards keeping people in the dispensary as long as possible. when you guys are dealing with so many different clients and so many different dispensaries, what are you guys kind of seeing as the mindset of operators moving forward? Is it the churn and burn model, or is it more let's keep customers in as long as possible?
I think it's a hybrid effect on both. Yeah, we're creating express lines for the people that come to the store and know exactly what they want, repeat customers, and they can pre-order actually and just go into an express line, pick up their goods and run. And then opposed to the other people that need some help, need a bud tender to help them through the process.
We're also seeing drive-throughs coming into play.
Which is super interesting. I mean, when you guys first got into the industry, did you expect cannabis drive-throughs to actually
no,
be a thing?
When we first got in the industry, you could sell cannabis off an orange crate. It didn't matter because you were selling cannabis. It didn't matter what the store looked like at all.
The cannabis sold itself.
Yes. Exactly.
And now you're seeing kind of the rise of these experiential brands and trying to create kind of a story around their branding. When somebody's trying to come up with a brand for the first time, what are some things that you would advise a client to take a look at to say, you know, these are some things you definitely want to take a look at. These are some things you definitely want to avoid and not get into the mind trap of, hey, I have to like hyper focus on one single cabinet and then forget about the rest of the store.
Right. I think we also have to look, like you said, a little bit further down the road from the visual merchandising perspective. It's one thing to, you know, have a pretty store and everything like that, but you also have to be able to merchandise it properly. So you have to think back as you're building your brand, how is that going to be merchandised? And what are the products, how we're going to merchandise it, and all of those factors come into play.
Well, when you're deciding how you want to merchandise your store, and you're deciding, you know, kind of what products are in your store, when you're first taking on a client, say it's a new client, just getting into the cannabis space, maybe they don't have all their product offerings yet because they're just getting into discussions with distributors and other people, what would you advise them to do? Would you take them down the design approach first, or would you say, hey, maybe model your product offerings after your design? Like, when you're talking to a client for the first time about that kind of stuff, what's the discussion like?
I think that we're trying to look at capacity of what you can merchandise. Like, are you going to show 120 strains, or are you going to show 240 strains, and try to model their merchandising around that?
What's been looking at the industry as a whole? There's been several kind of introductions of new ideas into design for dispensaries. In your opinion, what has been the biggest evolution for dispensary design since the inception of legalized cannabis?
That's a tough one. There's so many factors that come into play. I guess for us as manufacturers and designers, and coming from the retail sector, which is very established, I mean, we've got operators that really have never been in the retail environment before. So I think it's an education for us to teach them how to think about becoming a retailer and being able to merchandise and being a store owner that they've never done in their lives.
Yeah, our previous business, when you're dealing with the Coaches and the Nordstroms of the world, they understand their retail probably better than we do. Okay, so they're kind of dictating how the store build out's going to go, how the flow is, and whatever. When we moved it over into the cannabis side, there was no knowledge of retail from the customer, or very little in the beginning, right? So we had to quickly learn how to maneuver through that and take what we learned from our typical retailers like the Coach of the World and take that information and try to translate it to cannabis, right? So I would say it was a learning experience for us as much so as the client in the beginning, right? Now the cannabis companies are getting much more sophisticated and they're actually hiring retail experienced people in their store planning and construction departments.
And the other thing that factors into the equation is local and municipal laws and how you can merchandise, what is allowable, can the product be left in the case? Does it have to go?
It's different.
Every state is very different. So you're learning each state, and each customer has a different set of rules to follow and adhere to.
Well, and when you're going through these different rules, especially with MSOs, and you mentioned earlier about how different MSOs kind of do the cookie cutter approach, when you're, say, looking at a client that's trying to enter into a new space, and you're looking at, say, a very restrictive market, like you're not allowed to have billboards or you're not allowed to have any outside signage, what has been a challenge that you had with a client in terms of doing that kind of visual merchandising, and how did you overcome that challenge?
I think that we have to look at the totality of the business and try to customize their fixturing so that when you go into a market that's more constrained, you have that ability to modify things quickly or add on things. So you have sort of a bigger vision on how you approach it. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you guys are absolutely crushing design for dispensaries. I mean, again, coming from California and the 215 days, I'm very happy to see people actually taking a very, very forward-looking approach to design, especially coming from, you know, Nordstrom, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, obviously, high-end retail for apparel and other types of cosmetical goods. Do you think that this type of approach is going to continue along with not just cannabis, but possibly, say, obviously we have psychedelics now coming into the space. Do you think that that's going to take the same kind of approach that cannabis did in terms of retail, depending on how that shapes out as far as regulations?
I think it'll be a faster track because the people that are getting into the psychedelics have already sort of passed through the cannabis sector. And so they're going to hit the ground running. And they're going to be a lot more knowledgeable about how they want to merchandise and how they want to build stores and what the ideal client is for them.
Are you guys looking to get into the psychedelic space once it opens up?
Of course.
Well, that means we're going to have to start consuming that and experiencing it just to understand the products very well. Quote me on that.
No, that will be research and development. I'm sure you guys will enjoy very much. So what's next on the pipeline for you guys? Obviously, we're at MJ BizCon 2021, moving now into 2022. What's coming down the docket for you guys?
Well, I would say we deal with the North American marketplace, and so we deal with Canada and the United States. And I'll give you a baseball analogy. We're in the top of the ninth inning in Canada, and we're in the bottom of the second inning in the United States. So there's a lot going on in the U.S. The market's just burgeoning, and we think a 2 to 3 year run rate of growth and explosion in the U.S. market.
Are you guys expecting federal legalization to happen anytime soon?
I mean, that's the expectation.
We almost hope not.
Yeah, we were just chatting about this.
In Canada, when it was legalized federally, so the whole country just exploded. It's already saturated, and it's only been legal for, what, 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
3 years, right? Here in the U.S., it's a little bit of a slower growth because state by state, as it legalizes, we move into that state and we focus on marketing to that state. If it went federal tomorrow, we'd be overwhelmed for about a year or so, and then it would dry up, and I think the same thing would happen.
Plus, I think there'd be a lot more competition because there's so much going on. And the awareness, and so in some ways it still flies under the radar. Like if you look at a show like this, there's 1,000, vendors,
and
there's three retail solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, so I mean, it's sort of we've flown under the radar for a while. I mean, but that's changing, and there's other people trying to get into the industry. There's not a lot of retail going on today.
Well, I honestly gotta say, I don't think you guys have to worry too much about competition. The size that you guys are operating on, and the scale, and the creativity that you guys are creating, is beyond anybody else currently in the space.
Let me just correct you on that. The creativity that our staff is
I
meant colloquially as Seven Point Interiors.
The Seven Point Interior team, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, what you guys are doing for the industry is absolutely second to none. So I don't think you guys have to worry about somebody overtaking you.
And Nick, I think that over the last 4 years, we've developed a design team where we never had that in the past because we didn't have to. And now, because of the cannabis sector, it's just a natural extension of what we offer. And we're finding that we're even more appealing from the retail perspective, the traditional retail, because we have a design team now. And we're doing things that we never thought of. So it's really helped us, and it helped us grow our company.
And I got to ask, out of curiosity, has anybody ever gone into one of your design dispensaries, having a traditional consumer retail store for clothing or something, and said, "You guys did such a great job with this dispensary. Can I hire your actual other creative agency to work on my store?"
Well, that's what I'm talking about now. Yeah, that's what's happening.
I mean, we're designing for Nordstrom's fixturing and
yeah.
It's happening.
Even Foot Locker.
Foot Locker.
Like clients that we've never really dealt with before, because we didn't really have that design aspect to ourselves. And it's, again, because we're designing it, we understand it. We also understand their budgets, so it becomes sort of just a natural progression.
Did you think when you first got into the industry that cannabis would be helping push retail design?
Yeah, no. no idea. So, but it's interesting how it's evolved.
I look forward to seeing what you guys got coming down the pipeline. Again, I love what you guys did in Canada with the Grateful Dead concept. Love to see what you guys are going to come to, hopefully do some more stuff in Southern California, because some of our shops definitely need the help.
Well, we just did a store at 64th and Hope.
Yeah, okay.
La Cienega, or where is that? So that's a new brand that we're working with that plans to open up, 15 to 30 stores over the next 3 years. So very exciting.
We would like to thank both Robert and John for their time and being on today's episode. You can find out more about 7 Point Interiors by visiting them online at www.7pointinteriors.com. As always, thanks for listening. And we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.